Hello, this is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a good Wednesday. Here in Louisiana, we got some, few days ago, we got some cold temps. It was around 20. It's cold for Louisiana. I know other states, especially the northern states, at 20 probably don't really. Might feel like summer for you guys, 20 degrees, right? Hope you guys had an awesome Thanksgiving and you guys were safe and that you were able to enjoy it. Thanksgiving is over now. And of course, it's now December. It's Christmas time. Christmas is fastly approaching us, right? I will use the word Christmas. I know it can get controversial in the sense of people want to say, well, Christ was not born on Christmas. And in reality, we really don't truly know the birth time. But that's a whole different, that's more of a teaching part of that. But regardless how you may feel, with Christmas approaching, and it's all about Christ, right? And of course, we don't pick one month to let our light shine. Of course, all through the year, even after Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we are supposed to let our light shine. And if you guys follow me for any time, you know I'm about reaching others around us and not leaving it at the Sunday doors, which is happening in most churches in America. And that's sad. Many will deny it, but that's lying, and God does not care for people that lie. That's one sin that all sins are equal, but He don't care for somebody else lying, especially about who they really are when they walk out those Sunday doors. So we should be very cautious, 'cause our testimony is very important. And particularly during this time of the year, Christmas is a time to reflect. It's what should our nation recognize the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, once again, there are thoughts on that, but nationally, we celebrate the birth of Christ. Of course, we should carry that in our hearts every day. I know I do. When I think of the little baby that was born in the manger, some believe that might have been a cave, but he was born, right? And he was that perfect child. And he grew, and he grew, and became that man. And his ministry started, and he walked, and he was tested in all ways, and he sinned not one time. Of course, up to the crucifixion, you see his love, that grace, and that mercy. And Christmas is a time just to celebrate that, all that combined together, but just also the birth. So we need to keep this in mind. And what I want to do is I'm going to break down four, I guess you say, points or sermon topics and for Christmas, for this Christmas season. And the first one will be hope, and then we'll look at joy, peace, and love. Next week we'll look at joy. We'll be tonight in Romans 15, verse 13. That's Romans 15, 13. And the title of this is Hope for Christmas. Of course, our hope is every day. But during this time of the year, it just seems to me people are a little bit more open to talking about hope, especially in a world that is hopeless, or they don't have our hope. So Romans 15:13 goes like this: Now the hope of God, now the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may be abound in hope. through the power of the Holy Ghost. Bow with me, guys. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, just thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, just to preach this sermon. Lord, I pray that I humble my heart before you, that the words that come out of my mouth are the words that you need me to say, Lord. I pray that you just direct, you guide this. I pray that your spirit's all over this. I pray whoever's out there is listening to this, I don't know who's listening to this, that it touches them some way. It touches their heart. It touches their soul, Lord. Maybe they're going through difficult times in this season. Maybe they're contemplating killing themselves or doing, you know, just going to the bars and just trying to drown it all out. The pain and the voices. I know I've been there. I've done that many times. But it leaves you empty and torn inside. A hole still empty and hollow. Lord, I pray, Lord, this season and just into next year that we cling to the true hope, a biblical hope, and that is in you, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, you know what's going on in our nation. You know the turmoil that's coming, and you know that something is about to happen in this nation. And it may be horrible. It may be another war coming. That's going to take many lives, Lord. This coronavirus that is spreading will take many lives. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just be with us in this time. Know there's strength within your presence and comfort and peace within your presence. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. So, Romans 15:13, and of course, this is hope, right? Paul is writing to the Roman church here about hope. And you see, in that time, and just not in that time, even today, or today, the hope that we have as Christians is not the same hope that this world has. They're totally different, guys. The same hope Paul's writing or communicating to this church, the message is the same. And even more, we should shine more in December, because that's the time our nation that we have collectively, or we should collect, to recognize the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. When we look at this worldly hope, the hope of the world, you see, we are visible creatures. So when we look at the hope of this world, it could be, say, you're at Walmart or JCPenney or GameStop, or you're looking to buy that new vehicle, maybe a truck, F-150, F-250. Maybe you're a Chevy man. Maybe you like those Silverados. And I'm more of a Ford guy. I love the F-150s, F-250s, F-350s. Probably never will be able to afford one, but I love looking at them. Maybe you're looking in remodeling your house, buying all the stuff for that, the fresh paint, or doing the floors, or outside, you know, doing renovations outside. Maybe you're looking to get a mobile home or a house. You're on the lot, you're looking. Maybe it's you're walking through Walmart and you see that new dress or them new shoes, right? For a guy, you know, nice pair of pants and shoes, boots. Or if you're into tools, you're at Lowe's and you're walking around, and of course they have a ton of tools at Lowe's right now for sale, and I like buying tools. Of course, my occupation, suckler occupation, is maintenance, so I'm always looking for different tools. When I go into Lowe's, my wife, she probably sweats a little bit. See, whoever it may be, we may strive to save enough money to get those items that has caught our eyes, our heart is longing for. What can I do to get it? Maybe I can work a longer shift at work. Maybe side jobs. Maybe getting a loan. Maybe selling something. Getting a credit card. I don't encourage that. credit card debt is horrible. But you're pondering on how what you can get. You know, you see, when our heart yearns for items, we that yearning can lead to a passion or drive that may lead to take necessary steps to get those items, such as that new car, or new vehicle, or house, or that dress, or shoes, tools. This passion, desire, drives us to hope in ourselves to make it happen. We can do this. We got this. We're in control of our destiny. Our hope is driven on what we can do and no one else. See, this hope, guys, is shallow. This hope will leave you empty every time. You may get that house or that vehicle, that F-150 or that Silverado, or maybe you like the Camaros or the Mustangs. Maybe you get that nice dress or them shoes or them tools. You see, you're trying to fill something up. But you will find out that it will leave you empty every time. Some of us may experience what they call buyer remorse. And that's basically after you buy something that you know that you could not afford, you kind of get that remorse going on. And I've done that before. But you see, after we got that vehicle or whatever item we dress, it leaves us, after a while, we start looking again. We're looking for something to fill that hole. It don't last. I want to tell you, that hole is real. I suffered years and years trying to fill that hole with alcohol and drugs, pornography, darker the better, horror movies, filth, almost wrecked my marriage. It leaves you empty. Trying to buy stuff, try that too, it leaves you empty. You know, during this time, especially this time of the year, many will be losing their homes. Some may be losing their cars or their trucks or their boats. Some will look at this life and say, what's the point? It's useless. That depression, that anxiety will swallow them whole. And some, or many, may take their lives this year. Many have taken their lives this year. I was looking at something showing that this year has been the highest suicide rates that we have ever seen in our nation. There's a despair. I was looking at this article. It was in the Journal of American Health Association. And they reported some remarkable research. According to the Chicago Tribune, Suzanne Riberson, of the Human Population Laboratory of the Public Health Institution in Berkeley, California, found that people who experienced high levels of despair had a 20% greater occurrence of atherosclerosis, I believe I said that right, that's the narrowing of their arteries, than did optimistic people. This is the same magnitude of increased risk that one sees in comparing a pack a day smoker to a non-smoker. And said Everson, in other words, despair can be as bad as for you smoking a pack a day, meaning those today in this are having that despair. And that despair follows depression, anxiety, engulfs our hearts. And we may be reaching, trying to fill it with all kind of things, you know. Oh, I see this on the internet, I'm buying that. Or I go to Walmart, I'm buying this. I'm in so much despair. Oh, I need a new house. let me get this, let me fill it up, and you know, before I'm doing it, let me drink some, and let me, you know, take these pills. I'm in despair. It's horrible for you, despair. I was reading an article that the title was, "We have not seen this much suffering on Thanksgiving Day since the Great Depression of the 1930s. In this article, it says that 39 million Americans do not have enough to eat right now. More than 70 million claims for unemployment benefits is filed so far during this calendar year. People are waiting in line at food banks all over the nation just for some Thanksgiving handouts. If you and your family have plenty of turkey to eat, and thank God we did, you should be thankful, because many Americans can no longer even take Thanksgiving dinner for granted these days. Despair. We are in despair. Many Americans are hurting, the thing is, it will increase. It'll be worse this year. It may increase till next year. Maybe get worse. The key here is to recognize the way the world hopes ain't working for them. The hope they have in things, the material things, or what they can do for themselves, is not working for them. The key is to recognize the problem. That worldly hope. That's the problem. And then when we recognize that, we gotta go to the second. We have a solution. Solution to the problem, to this worldly hope. And our solution is Jesus Christ. You see, our hope should not look like that world's hope. As Paul was writing to the Romans, that the hope we have filled us with joy and peace, because we as children of God should know that this world does not have the answer to the hope. This world cannot understand the solid foundation of our hope, and that is in Jesus Christ. That hope fills you with that joy and peace. Lee Strobe's book, The Case for Hope. And if you're not familiar with Lee Strobe, he wrote The Case for Christ. And The Case for Christ was his personal, he was an atheist and a news reporter. And it was his personal investigation into Christ. His wife found Jesus, and she started changing. And he wanted to disprove the faith that she had wasn't real by going through, and I encourage you guys to read that Case for Christ. It's an awesome book. But he writes in this other book that he wrote, the Case for Hope. He gives this definition, which I believe is beautiful, right? Hope as an inextinguishable flicker, God ignites in our souls to keep us believing in the prevailing power of the light, even when we are surrounded by utter darkness. He said, hope is an extinguishable flicker, meaning it can't be put out. God ignites. God sets that fire in our souls. And when everything else is falling apart, we believe in the prevailing power of that light, even when we're engulfed by darkness all around us. You know, think of a sea of darkness. Maybe if you can't think of a sea or a storm, get in a room, shut the door, and turn the light out, and sit in a chair and just listen. See how dark it is. Then take a lighter or a candle, light it up. Take a lighter or bring a candle in there and light it. Watch that light flicker. Watch how the darkness flees from it. Hebrews 6:19 says this, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into that enters into that within the veil. Our hope is in Jesus. He is the anchor of our soul. I don't know if you're very familiar with anchors. If maybe you've been in a cruise or maybe on a shipping boat. Maybe you have, you know, you went fishing and you had an anchor. See, the purpose of an anchor for a vessel, when the anchor is dropped, it keeps that vessel from blowing back and forth into the reeds and the rocks. You can say that it's a harbinger. It's a hope. It's a lifeline. It keeps that vessel from going back and forth and crushing and being destroyed. See that anchor? The anchor that we have as Christians, it just doesn't drop to the bottom of the ocean. It's an anchor that goes straight up to heaven. Straight through heaven. And when we're experiencing the hardships of this life, when the depression, the anxiety all wrapped around despair and hopelessness comes rushing in, we need to get back, right? Yeah, it's hard. I get it. I struggle sometimes. But I know all will be well. I start thinking of scriptures. I encourage you guys to memorize scripture. Have that personal prayer time. Have that personal reading your Bible time. That long time. I cannot get enough long time. I could sit here all day just listening to music, reading my Bible, studying. The peace that I find in that. It's beautiful. The anxiety and that depression is engulfing our world. And the answer to it is Jesus. You see, Satan wants to, especially if you're a Christian, he wants to make you feel hopeless. And I know that from personal experience. I speak on spiritual warfare a lot. I also provide Bible studies on my website of spiritual warfare. Before it's over with, it'll probably be over a year Bible study on there. And actually, it can be some of the contents you can actually probably spend 2 or 3 years studying that. And I encourage you guys, if this world has two or four more years left in it, before the internet is blocked or before the contents can go out, I encourage you guys to get it. You know, I mean, copy it, study it, have a printed copy of it. Of course, it goes right along with the King James Version of the Bible. And, I mean, it's beautiful. But we got to understand that the satanic attacks, demonic attacks are real. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says this, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." See, the devil is highly organized. His demonic forces are well organized, and they want to they come to try to remove that hope, that promise that God gives us, a hope that will stay anchored regardless of whatever we're going through. We can get in those situations and feel like there's nobody around. We can feel isolated. Those are lies. That's what the devil wants. If you look at John 10:10, it tells us the thief comes not but for to kill and but to steal and to kill and destroy. I am, and in this sense, that is, I am in Jesus, the great I am, came that you may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. See, our enemy wants to destroy everything he can. But as a child of God, we have a power living inside of us. That is the Holy Ghost, to stand against the enemy. Because the Holy Ghost is inside us, and we have that holy word, the word of God, and it should be radiating through our body like a stream that's powerful. You know, we need to stand in the Lord. We need to stand in the power of His might and not ours. We realize there's nothing that we can do, only it's what the Holy Spirit does in us that the devil truly and his demonic forces are scared of. We put on the full armor of God, right? And we may stand against the wiles, the cunning, the tricks, the trickery of Satan and his demons. Our loins are girded with truth. That truth is Jesus. Our breastplate of righteousness is there. It's solid. It protects our heart. Our feet is shown with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We stand firmly on that peace, which is Jesus. We take the shield of faith, and we take the helmet of salvation, and the shield, the word of God, the word of the Spirit, and we control that, and we saturate ourselves with the word of God, and we pray before and after, before, during, and after. Our life radiates a prayer. We raise a hallelujah through our prayers and worship. Our weapons of prayer and worship, they drive those strongholds, that depression, anxiety, hopelessness, despair. We cannot do this alone. We have Jesus, that hope, that firm hope, which God sent his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die for us. He was born of Mary, a virgin. When that birth, that delivery, that hope was made physically manifest to this world, the hope of this world laid in that manger. That's beautiful. The eyes, I don't know if you ever held a baby. Looking at them, it'll tear you up looking at them. Jesus was a baby. But he was not just any other baby. He was that perfect lamb that was going to take away the sins of the world. And you see, that's the beautiful part of salvation. Recognizing what the birth of Jesus. And recognizing what that birth symbolized. That hope that radiates. A hope for a better day. A hope for one day we'll be with Jesus, and we will have not to experience all the pain and the suffering and the tears and the madness of this world. He leaves us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. John 13:16-18 says this, "And I will pray the Father, he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it see him not, neither know him. But ye know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless, and I will come to you." That's a promise straight from Jesus. He will not leave us comfortless. Meaning we have a comfort, and the enemy will lie to you and tell you that you don't have that peace and that comfort that comes to Jesus. You don't have a hope. Our hope is greater than this world. We should cling to it. It should radiate our lives every day. This world should clearly see there's something different about that person. They would just look at them and say, "Oh no, that professing Christian, they won't even know it's a professing Christian. That Christian is walking, claiming to be something he's not. Look at that hypocrite. We have failed by not walking the way we should walk, walking more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. What's wrong with us, America? Will we wake up? We wonder why our churches are dead spiritually. Our preachers in the pulpit, they don't care about living a holy life. They could care less. They'd rather tell their little children about Santa and lie to them and excuse it. And then they look around at their church and like, "What's going on? Where is my power? Where is the healing? Where is the faith? Why isn't my church on fire for God?" Maybe you're the problem. Maybe your congregation is the problem. You see, brothers and sisters, we should never lose that hope. That's one thing that should radiate from us every day. A praise and a worship of the hope that's in us. And as this Christmas season is on us, Let's not approach it like the world. Let's approach this Christmas season with the true meaning of our hope in Jesus Christ. Let's seek and pray this season that our light shine brightly on the hope that's living in each and every one of God's true believers. This hope that this world cannot understand because their hope is not solid. Solid is shallow. It's based on what we can see. It's based on what we can attain. What we can buy. What we can do. What we can drink. The alcohol we can drink. And the pills that we can pop to numb the pain. And the pain's still there when the alcohol wears off. And when the pills wear off. And when you buy that item, you get that buyer's remorse. Or that you need to buy something else. And it's just a continued cycle over and over. And leaves you hopeless. And then you're like, what's the point? And then suicide becomes a option. Trust me, sisters and brothers. The numbers that you will see this year and next year of the suicide rates will rock you to your core. Don't tell me there's not despair out there. Don't tell me there's not a flooding of depression and anxiety. Don't tell me that we got it all together and we are being the church when thousands are killing themselves. Maybe several thousands are killing themselves. When we look at the 39 million Americans this Thanksgiving, they didn't have enough food on their table, and you look at the 70 million that filed for unemployment, there's a despair and hopeless in this world. It will increase when we look at all of this. They are searching for answers. And if you're living a double agent life, which I call a double agent life, and you're looking just like them, you're in despair just like them. Your life looks just like them. But you're professing to know something, know Jesus that's supposed to be a hope, that's an anchor to the storm wherever you're going through. Shame on you for that. All of us within our community, there's people hurting. Yes, we got to be careful. But still, there's people hurting. We need to reach out for them and show them the hope that is solid. That hope that will anchor, that comfort that will comfort us when we're going through the storms in life. And we need to understand our enemy is real and he wants to push us in a corner and he wants us to feel like we're defeated. But I'll tell you, we are not defeated. We have victory in our Lord Jesus. Where our hope looks just like the rest of the world. We got problems. Problems. Because we have that power and that strength from the Holy Ghost to live every day as true Christians, true disciples, true followers, true soldiers of Jesus Christ. When the devil doesn't know what to do with true Christians, wherever he throws at them, they just take it. They give it to God. And they keep on pressing on. And they keep on pushing forward. And they keep proclaiming the gospel. They be claiming the truth, regardless of what it may cost them. I will tell you, in America, that is lacking this lukewarm Christianity that is gulfed the church. I know it sickens God. Lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. You see, our hope should be instinctual flicker that God ignites in our souls to keep us believing that prevailing power of the light, even when we're surrounded by utter darkness. Our hope is the anchor of our soul, meaning when things happen, we don't look like the rest of the world. We look different. What happened to us preaching holiness and righteousness and being separate? And everything we do, we give it to God. Why or when did it be okay to blend in? Blending in Christianity. Don't think it's not real. I see it in my workplace. It makes me sick to my stomach. And then they wonder what's going on. See, our hope is solid in any physical gift that you can get this Christmas. It's more than any emotional experience you can have at looking at a beautiful Christmas tree or all the beautiful lights that are associated with Christmas. Our hope goes beyond circumstances. It looks at others around us and need and reaches out to them. So this Christmas season and into the next year, do not blend in. Be the exception. Do not lose hope. But let your hope shine so bright, others will ask, what is up with you? What's going on with you? And then you can give them the reason, the hope that lives inside of you. As you guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thank you for the opportunity to preach this message. Forgive me where I may have failed you in delivering this. I pray that whoever's out there listening to this, Lord, they draw something from it. If it's just the mere scriptures that were given. Lord, I pray that you be with us. Those that are lukewarm. Those are, and they know who they are. They're not fully committed. They're only part-time. Lord, I pray that you change their hearts. I pray that you motivate them. Maybe a fire that has lost its flicker. Ignite that fire, that passion in their bones. A commitment to following you regardless of what the cost may be. And let our hope shine in that world that is growing darker and darker, filling with despair, the hole that cannot be filled only with the true hope that's in the biblical sense, in the Bible, the only hope that is an anchor to our soul when we're going through things in life. Lord, I pray, Lord, you know those are going through sickness, illness, financial loss, maybe broken marriages, broken families. We reach out to them, Lord. We pray, Lord, when your design and your healing power, you mend the broken, you heal the sick. We know you can. Do we have the faith to believe it, though? Lord, as we go off into tomorrow, I pray that you just give us the strength when we wake up to start that morning out with prayer and keep it throughout the day and close it at night with prayer and worship. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. Love you guys. Sorry about my dogs barking in the background. I guess it's one of the pitfalls doing sermons online or on this MP3 player. But I hope you guys enjoy. If y'all have any questions, please message me, text me. I'm working on trying to get a P.O. box set up. I've done some updates on my website, so hope you guys are enjoying those. Still trying to figure out on articles and stuff to post on there. There's a lot of things, so it come end time ministries and stuff. There's a lot of stuff that's not very accurate. So finding replicable resources and it would be ideal for me to write the articles. I just don't have time. I may write a few articles here and there and post on there, but that's like a more full time job, writing articles. But check out the End Time headlines. I'll post a few articles throughout the week on there. And of course, we got the Bible study on Saturday nights. And of course, I just put a new spiritual warfare Bible study for this month. So, of course, there's about 7 or 8 Bible studies on there. Just encourage you, allows you to go deeper into the scriptures, and these Bible studies are, they're straight from the Bible in the sense they're in the Word of God, which is the only truly spiritual warfare manual that we need. You gotta be careful looking at the other spiritual warfare manuals out there that people write. They really use extra biblical stuff that's not correct when you're dealing with spiritual warfare. And I'm really big on spiritual warfare in the sense of my life, how it was, and the depression that I had, and the attempted suicide, and all that. But, you guys have any questions, just reach out to me. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night.